You are listening to the PubCase Cyber Cafe, a biweekly podcast of news on the government response to cybersecurity threats and trends, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, and cyber in the courtroom. Hi, welcome back to the Cyber Cafe. This is Bill Olver for PubCase Cyber. Every morning, we capture the latest news and opinion related to government cybersecurity efforts, and every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap our top headlines. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit threw out the Federal Trade Commission's enforcement action against LabMD. FTC filed the action in 2013 after determining that the lab violated the FTC Act's prohibition on unfair and deceptive business practices when it failed to protect patient data from a breach. FTC's consent order required the firm to establish a comprehensive information security program, obtain independent assessments of the program for 20 years, and advise consumers affected by the breach on methods for protecting themselves from identity theft. The order was issued in 2016 despite an earlier decision by FTC's administrative law judge dismissing the case. LabMD long maintained that the breach never occurred in the manner FTC described and that the commission was overreaching its authority. In vacating the action, the 11th Circuit held that the commission's cease and desist order was unenforceable and that the consent order failed to enjoin a specific act or practice. Instead, it mandated a complete overhaul of LabMD's data security program while saying little about how the lab should accomplish this. In a separate action, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled that two FTC lawyers should be shielded from claims they improperly retaliated against LabMD. LabMD's CEO claimed that the lawyers violated his First Amendment rights by escalating an enforcement action in response to his condemnation of the commission. This decision struck down an earlier ruling that allowed the lawsuit to proceed, instead giving the attorneys qualified immunity. The court ruled that their actions could not be deemed violations of the CEO's rights unless there were plausible allegations that the commission would not have otherwise brought an enforcement action. A U.S. District Court judge has dismissed Kaspersky Lab's lawsuit attempting to overturn the government's ban on its products. The judge held the ban was constitutional, noting that the government's action did not determine guilt or inflict punishment. Rather, the court held that the action eliminated a perceived risk to the nation's cybersecurity and had only a secondary effect of closing off a small portion of Kaspersky's revenue. The judge also rejected Kaspersky's assertion that it had a right to sell to the government. However, it does seem like it's going to be easier for the government to ban the future purchase of Kaspersky's products than it will be to eliminate existing use. Multiple agencies have discovered that code written by the firm is embedded deep within federal infrastructure, in routers, firewalls, and other hardware, and no one is certain how to get rid of it. The White House is trying to work out a deal that would roll back harsh sanctions on Chinese telecommunication company ZTE, while still satisfying calls to address allegations of national security issues and trade violations. The White House says no deal has been signed, but sources say the Commerce Department may apply a penalty as high as $1.7 billion to the firm and seek to embed compliance monitors within the firm's sites. One source says Washington also wants ZTE to replace its board and executive team within 30 days. Chinese telecom Huawei says that the Federal Communication Commission's efforts to block it from federal contracts and supply chains is unconstitutional and misguided. The FCC proposal would ban firms deemed to be national security threats from receiving money from the Commission's Universal Service Fund, which provides money to help rural and low-income areas with phone and data service. Huawei and ZTE are both on the list of potentially banned firms. The House version of the National Defense Authorization Bill would bar all government agencies and federal grant recipients from using technology provided by Huawei and ZTE, on the grounds that it could be used for espionage by the government of China. Agencies would have until 2021 to cut all ties with both companies and their affiliates and to scrub their products from their supply chains. The Senate version of the NDAA would require companies that sell equipment and services to the U.S. military to disclose business ties that allow foreign governments to access their sensitive data, such as software source code. Both Russia and China have required companies to submit to source code reviews in order to win certain government contracts. The bill also explicitly bars Huawei and ZTE from DoD networks, unlike the House bill, which bars the company's tech from all federal agencies. The Department of Homeland Security has issued a new binding operational directive designed to further protect high-value assets in the federal government from cyber attacks. Federal agencies must submit an updated and prioritized list of their own high-value assets and identify a point of contact responsible for coordinating with DHS. Certain agencies designated by OMB must authorize DHS to conduct deeper risk and vulnerability assessments and remediate any critical weaknesses within 30 days. A group of Democratic senators has written to National Security Advisor John Bolton to urge him to reconsider his decision to eliminate the role of Cybersecurity Coordinator. Bolton cut the role following the departure of Rob Joyce earlier this year. The National Security Council says the move was part of an effort to streamline authority, noting that the duties of the cyber coordinator would be taken over by two other senior directors. GAO and NASA's Inspector General say NASA has made modest progress addressing longstanding IT management weaknesses over the last decade, but has failed to fully resolve them. In particular, OIG highlighted numerous shortcomings in NASA's Security Operations Center. Auditors also found that NASA officials often failed to evaluate the cybersecurity risks of the technology the agency purchased, and when they did, the assessment was less than thorough. A new audit indicates that the IRS hasn't accurately cataloged all the components of its highest value hardware and software systems, and doesn't have a clear count of who has privileged access to those systems. The agency also may not be patching software vulnerabilities on its highest value assets within the required 30-day timeline. Auditors couldn't say that definitively, since the agency is not maintaining historical data. Arizona has amended its data breach notification law to set a specific deadline for data breach notifications. Entities doing business in the state have 45 days to notify affected individuals that a breach has resulted in, or is reasonably likely to result in, substantial economic loss. South Carolina has enacted the Insurance Data Security Act, the first state to require insurers to establish a strong and aggressive cyber program to protect themselves and their consumers from a data breach. In international news, the French National Assembly has voted to amend its existing Data Protection Act to bring it in line with the EU's General Data Protection Regulation. One major change is that data controllers no longer have to file declarations with the French Data Protection Authority. And a bill in Ireland to implement areas of the GDPR has passed the upper house of the Irish Parliament and is now in the final committee stage in the lower house. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubKey Cyber page where you listen to this podcast. Hope you enjoy the presentation. Join me again in 2 weeks for another recap of cybersecurity legal news and the Cyber Cafe.